Thank the Lord this morning again for His presence with us, and I desire an interest in your prayers that the Lord would bless His Word this morning. Last Sunday we began a message entitled The Accuser, and we did not finish that, and we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday. And I will just tell you we're not going to finish this morning either. This morning we'd like to more directly focus on the subject of the tempter. Now, to remind you, just for those of you that were not here, and just for a review of those that were, we are in a spiritual battle. And if our eyes, and it's my desire and my prayer is that through this short little series of messages, that our eyes would be open to the battle that we are in. Because if we will recognize this is a spiritual battle, we will know how to fight better. It will give us greater courage when we're being tempted or we're being accused by the enemy to just recognize that's the enemy's job. That's the enemy there. That's not reality. That's not the reality of my spiritual life. That's not the reality even sometimes of things around me. The devil is doing all that he can to destroy us and to take, steal our walk from the Lord. So if we can recognize that, I think that it will help us. I believe it will help us in knowing how to defeat the enemy better if we know our enemy. I don't want to give the devil more recognition than he deserves in this series of messages either. But at the same time, if we're going to defeat the enemy, we need to know the enemy. We need to recognize how he works. I believe in Sunday school, in that passage that you read, said we are talking about the enemy. We are not ignorant of his devices. So when we're even in our temptations, when we can have our eyes open, say, okay, that's the enemy, then I'm not going to be as prone to give in when I'm tempted. Because I see the, I look beyond the enticement of the temptation and I see the enemy. By definition in the Old Testament, and this is review now, Satan means adversary. So when we read about Satan, he is our adversary. He is opposing us. He's the great opposer. Satan opposes you serving the Lord this morning. Satan opposes you living a holy life this morning. Satan will oppose your marriage this morning. Satan opposes unity in the church of God this morning. Satan opposes everything that is good and righteous. He opposes it. And he doesn't care how he does it. Satan does not play fair this morning. He tries to come in and make you think he's on your side. It's a device of the enemy. He paints a pretty picture on the surface, but on the other side, there's a lot of heartache, and in the end, there's death. So we want to recognize that. Now, by definition, devil. In the New Testament, devil means the accuser. So when we talk about the devil, it means the accuser. I believe I brought this out last week, but I'm going to bring it out again. In the Greek, in the New Testament, one of the commentators brought out that devil is never used plurally. Okay? It never says devils. Now, in the English, it does. But the Greek says demons in those places. In other words, when Jesus cast out devils, the better translation would be, he cast out demons. But the word devil is singular. He is the chief of the evil forces. He is the head, spiritual force of all that is wrong. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the God of this world. He is the adversary. He is the accuser. He is the tempter. Well, we read last Sunday, and this is where we conclude, and I just want to begin there in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 in the first verse. Said, and Satan, in other words, the adversary, stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Now, the point was not that it was wrong for David necessarily to count how many soldiers he had. But the problem, the temptation was that he was beginning to put his trust on his large army rather than putting his faith in God to deliver them in the enemy, from the enemy. And so it said that Satan stood up. Now last Sunday we examined where Satan stood before the throne of God and talked in Job. And we talked about Job being tempted and the hedge being taken down. And Job was being really turned, put in the hands of the enemy, but God said, you can't take his life. So there is communication between good and evil. There is communication about your life this morning many times between God and the devil, Satan, your adversary. So recognize this, that when you are in life and you are faced with decisions and choices, there is oftentimes communication and the Lord is looking down. He knows where you're at. He knows how you're being tempted. But there is an enemy that's saying, oh, they're just serving you because they're just trying to fit into the group. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, they're just trying to fit in and look like them and act like them. They don't really have a good experience with God. Who is it that says stuff like that? The accuser, Satan, or adversary. And so now we see a picture of Satan, the adversary. He stood before the throne of God and he accused Job. As an accuser, he was accused Job. But now we find that the adversary is standing up against Israel, which typifies the people of God. Folks, the focus of the battle this morning is God's people. If you turn and read in the book of Revelation and look at the battle of Armageddon and look at the Gog and Magog, you will find that the focus of the battle is the saints of God. We are in that battle today. It's not talking about a future time when there's going to be a war in Jerusalem and then Jesus is going to establish a kingdom there. The kingdom of God is right now, but we're still in a battle. And the focus is, I told you last week, was it Charles Spurgeon that says Satan doesn't kick a dead horse. In other words, he's already got people. He comes along and he's trying to provoke God's people to do wrong. He's trying to cause us to leave the faith. He's a tempter. And so here he stood up against Israel and he provoked David to number Israel. In other words, he tempted him. The word provoke means to incite. Have you ever been provoked? Now, do you remember when Peter told Jesus, when Jesus told his disciples that I believe that he was going to die, that he was going to be crucified, he in essence told them that he was going to die and that all these things were going to happen, and Peter was like, oh no, Lord, that's not going to happen. Do you remember what Jesus told him? He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I wouldn't advise you to try that on anybody. But, I want to clarify this. The enemy, and Sister Rhonda mentioned it in Sunday school, the enemy, the tempter, will use every individual in your life that he can to cause you to be discouraged. The people you love, the people that you really care about, there's going to be times that the enemy uses them to try to discourage you and to look at them and say, I wouldn't try it, brethren. Don't look at your wife. Get thee behind me, Satan. It won't go very far. It won't work. But acknowledge this. Does Satan use your companion to try to discourage you sometimes? Yes. So how much better then in children, I wouldn't say that to your parents either. You're asking for trouble. But do you recognize the enemy is going to use everybody he can? And so when something discouraging happens, rather than say, oh, they're my problem. Oh, well, Brother Friendship, he gave me a hard time. He's my problem. Rather than putting and he hasn't given me a problem, saints. But rather than looking at him and letting the focus of my energies go there, why couldn't I recognize, say, you know what? The enemy's trying to discourage me. The enemy's trying to do something to me. Do you recognize then it changes the whole nature of the battle? For those, and I hope that's okay, I use you an example. We don't have a problem, and I don't want to after this message either. But if we did, do you recognize how the enemy causes problems among people? Pretty soon something happens that maybe it shouldn't have happened. Maybe someone said something they shouldn't have happened. Sister Rhonda, maybe the person shouldn't have said what they did. But guess what? The enemy was trying to cause you to be discouraged. That's why the enemy does that. So then rather than take out my frustrations on the person, recognize, you know what? This is a spiritual battle. I love them and they love me, so get behind me, Satan. Tell Satan that. This is the enemy that's doing that. Has anybody ever provoked you and just prodded you and prodded you and prodded you? When I was little, and my brother and sister, I think they've apologized, but they, you know, sometimes children, they get on each other's nerves a little bit. One time, my brother and sister, when we were real young, and I'm glad I'm telling the story and not them, by the way, but they decided to see how many times they could make me apologize in a day. And so they did things just to provoke me, intentionally, and I had a tender conscience. And they were the ones to blame. I mean, they were the ones causing the problem. But then they would provoke me until I would respond a little short of grace. And then I said, oh, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have done that. Just to see how many times they could get me. Now, that wasn't real nice. But do you understand the devil is in the business of provoking? The enemy's going to do things in our lives this morning just to just to kind of poke someone and see how long he can poke you before you respond like you shouldn't. If I can recognize this is the enemy doing that, do you know that it changes how we view and how we approach some of the temptations and trials in our life? Say, you know what, that's just the devil doing his job. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's grace over the enemy this morning. There's grace over the tempter, but the devil provoked David. He incited him. Another definition of provoke means to allure, to entice. Make something look good. You know, that's the very nature of temptation this morning. I don't know how many times I'd use this as an example. Put a can of beer in front of me. It's not a temptation. I don't want it. A temptation is something where there's a desire for it. I don't even want it. Get it out of here. Whether I'm saved or not, I don't want it. It's disgusting. I don't care for it. It's not even a draw to me. But do you know if it's a draw to you, that doesn't make you any less spiritual than me? So this morning, if someone put a can of beer and you felt a little temptation, you're no less spiritual than I am. Just different temptations. But a temptation is based on something that is enticing to me. It's something in the flesh that draws me. And in the flesh, as long as we are in the flesh, folks, we are prone to temptation. The devil's job is to tempt us. He's going to try to put things in our path that look alluring, that look good on the outside, to try to cause us to deviate from living to please God. Well, don't be discouraged when you're tempted then, especially you children, young people. The accuser is also the tempter. And those things merge, and he will try to tempt you and then accuse you of doing wrong when you never did anything wrong. It's just temptation. Just because we're being tempted doesn't mean we have failed God. So I feel this strong desire inside of me to do something I know is sin. Have I done wrong? No, I haven't done wrong. Devil's just doing his job. But Lord, I love you and I don't want to give in to the enemy. Lord, would you help me to be strong? And you fight that temptation and you struggle with it. But do you know, as long as you're struggling and fighting, you haven't given in. So don't allow the accuser to come along and say, well, if you were saved, you wouldn't even be tempted that way. That's a lie. The devil's a liar, folks. He will try to come and accuse you of doing things that you never did. And sometimes when you put forth your best efforts and it kind of makes a mess, the enemies can come along and say, see there, you don't have anything anyway. Oh, thank God he knows my heart then. If on the outside it looks like a mess, Lord, you knew my intentions and you knew my purpose. Thank God that there's power over the accuser this morning. He's just doing his job. It's a bad job, but he's doing it. Well, to provoke. Is not this how the enemy tempted Adam and Eve? He first caused them to look at that fruit. He kind of pointed it out. You know, the enemy usually does not come along to us and just cause us to overnight just do some gross sin and walk away from God. It's a process. Walking away from God is a process. Let's not be ignorant of his devices now. He's going to try to cause us to get our eyes on something that God says don't do. I know I'm not supposed to eat of that fruit, but it sure does look good. What about sin? Is there some pleasure in sin? I'm not going to stand here and be disingenuous. Yes. Because the flesh, there's pleasure in the flesh, but it doesn't last very long. That's the thing about it. The enemy tries to make this beautiful picture that, oh, this feels good. Experience this, experience that, and it would just be pleasurable. You know what? There's a little bit of pleasure out in sin, but the devil doesn't show you the results of it. He doesn't show you what's on the other side of it. The other side of sin is heartache and brokenness and guilt and eventually death in eternity. Eternal death and pain and suffering. The devil doesn't tell you that. He just tries to make this thing look good right now. But I want to say that serving God is good this morning. Serving God is good not just because when we die we'll go to heaven. There are many blessings in serving the Lord. There's a place of rest and peace that we can have in the Lord that supersedes any of the instantaneous pleasure that sin brings in the flesh. So it's the tempter's job to try to make us think differently than that. So look at the fruit. And you remember, the enemy did not come in and said, God said, don't eat that. What did he do? He came in, he asked a question, didn't he? Did God say not to eat that? You know, did God tell you that this would happen? Do you know there's more power in questions than there are in just making a statement? Isn't there? And you will find this in temptation. The devil doesn't just come along and say something. Many times he comes along and poses a question. Have y'all ever questioned holiness? Anybody besides me? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know the other day I had gotten off the phone with someone and I had told them something. It was from the Bible. It was truth and it was right. And I hung up the phone and the devil came and said, you're stupid. I'm sorry. That's just what he told me. He came along and said, you really believe that? You know how foolish that is. And I had to battle that just a little bit. I thought, I know what I said was right. And I know it was true. The devil was accusing me and trying to make me feel foolish for believing in God. He was trying to make me feel foolish for believing in God and having faith in believing in what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God has proven itself time and time again. But is it wrong for us to have these questions in our faith? Temptations of our faith? That's just the devil. That's what he's trying to do. He wants to cause, and too many today are giving in to that. The devil is provoking them with questions. Do you really think, talk about the people of God. Do you really think you need to live like that? I mean, he doesn't just come and say, oh, those guys, they don't have anything. No, he'll ask the question, you really think you have to do that? You really think you need to live like that? You really think it matters if you go there? Follow that road and see where it ends. Look at people that have followed the road and see where it ends. Folks, there's a reason why we do what we do this morning, but understand it is the tempter's job to provoke us until we give in and we do what he said. Look at this, and pretty soon Eve starts looking at it. And then, do you know, it started being alluring to her. It looks good, and then if you'll just touch it. You know, you're not giving in. You're not committing sin yet. Okay? You're not sinning. You haven't quite crossed the line. But, oh, it looks good. And, you know, just looking at that, pretty soon she reached out and touched it. Did she commit sin yet? Well, I know sin's a condition of heart. I'm not sure. We know where things were headed pretty quickly. But she reached out and touched it. And it got a little bit closer to her. Until finally she got to the place that she took a bite of it. You know, she realized real fast that God was right. We will spare ourselves a lot of heartache this morning if we will take the Word of God and know this is right. But understand we're in a spiritual battle this morning. And the enemy is doing everything he can to tempt us, to cause us to deviate from the truth. Temptation. Samson. Remember Samson? He was worn down by Delilah. She looked good. He liked being with her. But we read that story. It's like, Samson, couldn't you be smarter than that? You know she was trying to get the secret of your strength. He thought he could handle it. right? I have news for us this morning. You can't handle it. Guess what? I can either. It's the enemy. Don't flirt with the tempter. Say, you know what flirtation is? It's like saying you might, or making someone think you would, or don't flirt with the tempter. It's like, well, I'm not gonna do it, but I'm gonna act like I'm gonna do it. That's what a flirt is. I'll act like it, but I won't. You know? Don't flirt with the enemy this morning. If you know something is wrong, stay away from it. Because his job is to wear us down, and that's what he did to Samson. Samson, the first time, did not lose his strength. But he listened, he succumbed to the enticement of Delilah. You know, that's what sin will do in the flesh. Over time, if we stay in a place of allurement, it's going to begin to tear down our defenses. Folks, when we recognize I'm in a spiritual battle and the enemy is going to do everything he can to tempt me away from doing what is right, I don't want to stay in that condition. And one of the things, and this is a very practical thing, especially you young people and children, this will be a help to you. This is just flat practical advice. When the devil comes in like a flood and is flooding your mind with accusations and temptations, a lot of times it's a good thing to get up and change your physical environment. Okay? So if you're by yourself, you're in your room, you're by yourself and the devil's just coming in and you're battling him and he's just, it's a good time to go get around other people. It's a good time to fill your mind with something positive. Listen to something good. Read something good. Get around people. Go get involved in an activity to give the enemy less room to work in your mind. I found it works. It's helpful against the enemy. Because a lot of times when things get quiet and you're by yourself and the enemy starts coming in and it starts getting pretty powerful, it's a good time sometimes to just physically get out of that situation. Tempter has a purpose this morning. Now, Jesus told Peter over in Luke 22, verse 31, he said, Simon, Simon, he said, Satan hath desired, you remember what it says? To have you. He's desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thine brother. Do you recognize that Satan has desire to have you this morning? I know we take comfort in knowing that God is there and God loves us, but I want us to see the battle that we're in this morning. Satan has a plan. The devil, the accuser, the adversary, the tempter, he has a design on your life this morning. Don't go away discouraged. But know that he has a plan for you. He knows your weaknesses, he knows your strengths, and Satan desires to have you. So then, if I know that fact, and folks, this is a fact, Satan desires to have us, then as I approach life with its temptations, with the decisions I have to make, I want to remember I have an adversary. And there's an evil force at work that's trying to get me away from doing what God wants. So then do you realize that we can begin to recognize more how the enemy, is this thing of God or is this of the enemy? How might the enemy be using this situation? Or how might be the enemy using that thought? And then we can begin to recognize where the enemy works. Satan hath desired to have thee. And you know, temptation is something that comes from the flesh, is it not? Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. In other words, but God allows temptation, does he not? Because we all have a choice this morning. God is not twisting our arms to serve him. We have a choice to make. But we want to recognize that there's God on one side and the enemy on the other side, and he's drawing on things of the flesh. You remember when Jesus was tempted? Jesus in Matthew 4, it says Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted by who? By the devil. By the devil, the accuser. He was led into the wilderness. Folks, when you begin to feel like you're in the wilderness, you recognize Satan's going to be pretty close by. When you start feeling isolated, when you start feeling misunderstood, when you start feeling like you're alone and nobody really cares about you, that's a lie of the devil as well. There are people that care about you, but when you start feeling isolated and alone, the devil's going to be right there. In the times of our wilderness, in the times of difficulty and trial, the enemy's going to be there, and he was led in the wilderness to be tempted. And you remember one of the first temptations the devil presented was, he told Jesus, he said, why don't you turn this rock into bread? But I'd like to read you what it says exactly. When the tempter came to him, does the tempter ever come to you? Do you recognize him as being the tempter? Let's take a stand against the tempter this morning. Let's not flirt with it. Let's stop praying about it. Understand now, let's start taking a stand against the tempter. I know the enemy's working there. Okay, I know what the Lord wants me to do. All right, so the tempter came, and this is what he said to Jesus. Now, if the devil does this to Jesus, do you think he'd do that to us? He said, if thou be the Son of God. Here he is asking a question now. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made into bread. Why didn't he just say, you're not the Son of God? Or why didn't he just say, you're the Son of God, so turn them into bread, the stones into bread? If you're really saved. Have you all ever heard that from the tempter? If you're saved. What do you mean, if I'm saved? I'm saved. But it's the accuser's job to say if. He wants to plant a little bit of doubt. And he wants to plant the doubt that if you don't do what I tell you, it proves you're not saved. In other words, if you're the Son of God, which I don't think you are, but if you are, then turn those stones into bread. Well, if you don't do it, then you're really showing you're not the Son of God. Folks, the devil works like this still today. If you're saved, then that wouldn't have happened. Liar. That's what the devil is. If. And do you notice that he appealed to the lust of the flesh? Jesus was tempted. That's what it says. He was tempted. So that meant there was something, and Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was in a weakened condition. When we are in a weakened condition, we are more susceptible to the tempter, folks. I'm not up here telling you have to have 8 hours of sleep. Now, please don't go away and misunderstand and say, Brother Michael's trying to tell us how much to sleep now. But I want to tell you something. I have found, and I think you all could probably back this up, you go a long time without getting enough sleep, you're not quite as patient as you should have been. I wonder why. You're more susceptible to temptation. The barriers are down because I'm tired and I'm worn out, and you're more susceptible to do things you probably ought not to be doing. It's because, just like Jesus, he was in a weakened condition. It's why it's good to live a healthy life. Get enough sleep, eat good food, because when you don't, I will say, the barriers start getting down. Just something to be aware of. It's when the devil came and tempted Jesus, and I know I'm not Christ. My goal is to be like him, but I know the devil's the same devil. Okay? So he came and he drew on the lust of the flesh. Jesus was hungry. He said, turn these stones into bread. And then remember, and we won't take the time to read it all this morning, but he went up and he tempted him with the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He took him up to the temple. He said, cast yourself off. And if you're the Son of God, the angels will give. If you're the Son of God, he did it again. He asked another question. And then he said, look out over the city. He said, I'll give this to you if you will bow down and worship. Do you know the devil? This is what the enemy, young people, I'm not picking on you. I want to reinforce to you this morning. The enemy will tempt you, making you think, if you will follow your own way, that all the things of this world, that they're yours. You're in control. You can have the best that this world has to offer if you can just follow your own devices and know that you're going to be held back if you follow the Lord. That is a lie of the enemy. You will not be held back in your life if you follow the Lord. God has a wonderful plan for us if we'll follow Him. But Jesus was tempted. See, it was the pride of life. You know, it was something that you can have this if you won't serve the Lord. If you'll just follow me, you can have all of this. That's the tempter, folks. That's the devil's job. It's what he's still doing today. And there is no temptation taking you this morning, but that is common to man. If you feel like you're alone and you feel like temptations that no one has ever been through where it is, start talking to people. And you have to be vulnerable. You know, you can think, well, Brother Michael, you've never been tempted. Yes, I have. I would be a little worried to get up and write all the temptations I've ever had on the board. Would you like to do that? But there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, the devil is the same. He comes in as a roaring lion. He comes as an angel of light. He changes his clothes. He doesn't always come with a pitchfork. But I want to recognize in horns, you know, he comes in looking good and sounding good and smelling good, but it's still the devil. And he's doing the same old tricks, and people are still falling for him. If you're saved. If you'll do the way of the world, you will be successful in the world. But you can't follow the Lord because that's a little too confining. You mind if I call the devil a liar again this morning? He's a liar. That's a trick of the enemy. He's a tempter. Don't let the devil, he will provoke you. But there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to what? Make a way to escape, folks. We have power. Now, if you want more, come back next Sunday, Lord willing. But there is more. We have victory over the enemy this morning, but he is an accuser. He is a tempter. Let's have our eyes open this morning to the battle that we're in. And I'm thankful. Blessed is he that endureth temptation, that perseveres. And sometimes I remember I've gotten so sick and tired of the devil. You may think that sounds fleshly. That's spiritual. That's a spiritual battle. I've gotten so tired of it. It's like, leave me alone. Have you ever felt that way? It's like, just stop already. And he's there, but he will go away for a season. And during that season, you remember the angels came and ministered to Jesus? They encouraged him and strengthened him, and then the devil came back. But do you know what? The devil's going to come back as long as we're in this life, but if we will stay faithful to God, we're still going to be ministered to, and if we will endure temptation, there's a crown of life that is awaiting us. So let's be faithful, let's open up our eyes, our spiritual eyes this morning, and this week, when things difficult come or you're tempted, let's recognize I'm in a battle. And that's the devil, he's just doing his job. Draw nigh to God, get close to the Lord, rebuke the devil, and he will what? He'll flee from you until he comes back. But let's stay faithful. God bless you all.